Chelsea, thanks for making time.
Thank you for making time.
So, you know, I don't know if anybody's been a first daughter twice, but what do you imagine, you know, your role might be in your mom's administration if she's elected?
Well, I don't really see past November 8th, admittedly, so I certainly hope that my mom is our next president. For me, this election, as I was sharing earlier in the event, is mostly about my children. I have a daughter, Charlotte, who's 2, and a son, Aiden, who's 3.5. And so also I might be not thinking past November 8th because I'm slightly sleep deprived because he's not sleeping through the night quite yet, but we're almost there. And so, you know, God willing, and hopefully with a lot of hard work, my mom will win on November 8th, and then we'll see. But I certainly have no plans to move back into my old room in the White House, given that I have work I love in New York and a family that's based in New York.
You know, this area went for Bernie Sanders in the primary, went for Donald Trump in the primary, and there's a lot of dissatisfaction with however people see the status quo. Now, I mean, your mom has experience for going back a long time. What kind of president would she be?
Well, I think she would be the type of president that she has been in her public advocacy work for longer than I've been alive. I always admittedly struggle, and I own my deep kind of biases towards my mom as a fiercely proud daughter, when anyone accuses her of kind of being part of the status quo, because I've watched her obliterate the status quo my whole life, you know, fight for better educational opportunities in Arkansas, kind of fight for universal health care coverage in Washington when she failed for that effort, kind of fighting for children's health insurance reform, which she did achieve. I mean, just sort of continually trying to make things better for more people and to give those who historically haven't had a voice. So I would hope that, you know, people here in Traverse City and really just across the state will look at what she has done in her life and give her the chance to fight for what she wants to do as their president.
In Michigan, unemployment is finally below 5%. But, you know, I think a lot of people in northern Michigan might feel a little left behind from that recovery. What is your mother's economic vision offered to those people?
Well, I think this is one of the most important questions facing the next president, and one certainly that my mom takes very seriously, as you can see in her detailed plans to make investments in advanced manufacturing and clean energy and infrastructure, plans that if she is given the chance to implement, independent experts have said would create more than 300,000 new jobs across Michigan. And compare that to Donald Trump, who, you know, independent experts say if he actually is, heaven forbid, given the chance to implement what he wants to around the economy, would destroy more than 100,000 jobs just here in Michigan. So that's a difference of 400,000 jobs, and I hope that'll matter to voters here in Traverse City and across the state.
When you were talking, you made a reference to making healthcare more affordable. Your mother has promised to protect the Affordable Care Act, but how can she make healthcare more affordable?
So one of the kind of areas that she talks a lot about relates to prescription drugs, and I think one of the reasons she's so focused on it is because for her it very much feels like unfinished business. One of the original parts of her universal health care plan back in 93 and 94 that didn't succeed was to empower Medicare to negotiate with drug companies so that Medicare could use its negotiating power to really drive down costs for Medicare recipients. That actually would be good for all of us who aren't on Medicare yet, because I like to think you and I are going to live long enough to be on Medicare, because Medicare pricing is totally transparent. So it would be hard for the drug companies to charge kind of those of us not on Medicare even 3 times, much less 300 times what they would be charging someone on Medicare. So that's just one example of something that she wants to do.
You know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of young people who are unsure about the direction of the country and unsure about, you know, who they might support in November. You know, what's your 30-second pitch to a young person?
Well, one, I would say get registered, because we know that there are still a lot of young people who aren't registered. You have to get registered by October 11th to even have the chance to express your opinion kind of through your vote on November 8th. And I would say, you know, I really hope that you'll look at kind of what the different candidates are offering in this campaign and who has a real record of actually getting things done in areas that you care about. I would never say to someone, this is what you should care about, but we all care about something. And all of that's at stake in this election. So whether it is things we've already talked about, the economy or climate change or things we haven't, you know, criminal justice reform or public education investment or gun prevention violence, you know, all of that's at stake. And so I hope that people of all ages will give my mom a fair shot and really look at what she wants to do in the White House and hopefully then vote for her on November 8th.
Chelsea Clinton, thanks for making time.
Yeah, thank you so much.